Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. John Swinney was sworn in today as the First Minister of Scotland. He became leader of the Scottish National Party yesterday. So sworn in a day after Putin was sworn in as President of Russia. I'm not saying there's so much of a similarity between the two men. I mustn't insult Putin, you know, because, you know, Putin has at least achieved some economic success. But anyway, flippancy inside. All right, Swinney's not evil, but Putin is. So it's in a way a staggering that the SNP should have selected him as their leader. Remember, he's the man who failed them 20 years ago. Why on earth would you bring him back? The party of youth, someone who's not so young. I mean, he's not terribly old. How old is he now? 64. He certainly doesn't look it, despite having a glabrous pate. So in 2000, Alex Salmond stood down. He took over Swinney. And despite problems in United Kingdom level politics and the Scottish Labour government doing badly on the NHS, somewhat badly, despite the Iraq war, the SNP really opportunistically latched onto that to be pro-Saddam. But anyway, they had dismal electoral results and he was forced out. And so now he's come back. But he obviously didn't drop out of politics, was in parliamentary politics all the time, held a number of important portfolios in the Scottish government. So here he is back, elected unopposed, had private meeting with Kate Forbes, so she's agreed to be Deputy First Minister. My perhaps surprising answer is he can save the SNP. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but he's got a chance, more of a chance than Humza Yousaf did. Humza Yousaf was Health Minister, had a lamentable record. He started off with negative poll ratings. That was his honeymoon. Swinney does at least have some positive poll ratings. So maybe more charismatic and personable, longer in politics, quite savvy. I'm going to have to stop being a headbanger on the trans issue or the idea of breaking up the United Kingdom. It ain't going to happen, certainly in the foreseeable future. So you're going to have to wait several years, maybe several decades, to have another bite of the cherry. Anyway, the SNP is in the same position in North Britain as the Conservatives are in South Britain, in as much as the SNP's won four consecutive elections. Are you going to win a fifth? That would seem to be defying political gravity. So you'd have a chance. Now, his major test is probably before the end of the year, a Westminster general election. Remember, the SNP rule the roost. I mean, there are 59 constituencies in Scotland, and if memory serves, they got 45 of them. At one stage, they had 56 out of 59. So they're neck and neck on the opinion polls with Labour. A bit of a fillip from this new leader, and they usually have a honeymoon. But obviously, that'll leech away. The one thing is, voting behaviour varies a bit between Holyrood and Westminster in Caledonia. And some people are saying, well, for the Scottish election, I'll vote for the exclusively Scots party. For the United Kingdom election, I'll vote for the party that exists at a UK level, which is Labour in many cases. But I see that the SNP are obviously going to lose seats, lose votes for Westminster, but not that dreadfully. So people speak like the NHS is finished, and far from it, even as a ruling party. So they could even win the next Holyrood election. I think it unlikely. There's another couple of years to go. And they could win the Westminster election, both in votes and seats, even if not by much. So of the 59 seats, you know, the Conservatives will get about two, Liberal Democrats get about four, and that would leave, 53 seats left. So the other two parties will get in the high 20s each. So Labour used to be very strong in urban areas. Like Glasgow had eight constituencies, and from 1983 until 2015, they won every single one in Glasgow. Yeah. That's sort of eight seats times five elections, 40 times, if you see what I mean, 40 individual constituency elections. In Edinburgh, it was something similar. Okay, the Liberal Democrats got one towards the end. That central belt, Scotland, whereas the SNP was stronger in rural Scotland, you know, up in Nithsdale, Galloway up in Nithsdale, Dumfriesshire, or Aberdeenshire, Murray, where Alex Salmond's constituency was, like the Liberal Democrats. So Labour will come back in these urban areas. Yes, the SNP holds those seats mostly, but often only by, like, say, a margin of 5 percentage points. Whereas in the countryside, the SNP is much safer, often holding them by a margin of, say, 20 points. And it's a three-cornered fight, even a four-cornered fight in the countryside, many cases, that the four major parties might have a significant presence. Like in Edinburgh and Glasgow, the Tories getting like 10%, 5% in some constituencies. So it's actually, perhaps bizarrely, in Aberdeenshire, that's where the Conservatives are actually quite strong. That's where Michael Gove comes from. But don't hold that against the Granite City. It's not a bad place, despite the Silthy Tove hailing from that city on the North Sea. I wish the Har would swallow him up. So the SNP have got a bit of a chance with this new leader, who's very long in the tooth, a seasoned political operator. I can't think of the life of why Kate Forbes is persuaded to stand down. Opportunity knocks. It may never come back. The SNP will probably lose the next Holyrood election. And when will they come back into office? I don't know. Might not be for decades. This is maybe your one shot at it. She could well be the leader of the SNP in the future, but it's unlikely that she'll be first minister. Yeah, I didn't say impossible. In 10 or 20 years, maybe they'll come back. But it was perhaps foolish not to go for it while still there. But, you know, she still achieved a lot. She's still in her 30s, these offices that she has held. So Swinney, he's got a lot on his plate. The NHS waiting lists are growing. Crime is up. Education's falling apart. There are more strikes. It all requires more money. They've raised tax. That's caused affluent Scots to leave North Britain. So what are they going to do? Tax people even more? And because they are big state socialists, they're interfering, want to poke their nose into everybody's business, hyper-regulate their things, they're control freaks. And that's all very, very expensive. And so they're not willing to cut back. Say, like, no arts grants, fewer civil servants, efficiency savings. No, we're not just going to pay people not to work or people who claim to be too ill to work and stuff like that. No, cut back. Your money is yours. The government must strive to spend less money, not be thinking ways of reasons to take away people's money. I don't see that happening really. It's, you know, the NHS there is a super tanker. Even if you find a way to turn it around, it's going to be like a few years before positive results are felt. So Labour are bullying to win, but they shouldn't be too ebullient. You know, it's not like in the bag for them at all, Westminster level, even Holyrood level. So obviously Labour starting from such a low base, more or less the only way is up. So Anna Sarwar is their leader. The Glaswegian dentist really, really cock-a-hoop, but he mustn't be prematurely triumphal. They face someone who's more effectual, who's got more hinterland than Humza Yousaf. He could scarcely have less. So Mr. Swinney is the seventh First Minister of Scotland. And obviously one's been a non-white man, one's been a white woman, and the other five been all white males. Remember, Scotland's not that ethnically diverse, maybe like 6% non-white, much of which is concentrated in Glasgow. Right. And the Liberal Democrats don't have a very serious presence. The Tories up there, they've got this kind of dimwit, William Ross as their leader, this deeply unimpressive farmer. So the Conservatives are probably going to be smashed there because associated with unpopular Westminster policies, even though that doesn't actually impact Scotland, because Scotland financially does its own thing, has determined its own policy, separate from Westminster, on health, education, crime, gender, the environment, just about everything. I mean, the only thing that's going really well for Scotland, I suppose, is renewable energy, because they've got such an indented coastline, so such a windy coast and so on, selling energy to England and perhaps overseas. All right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye, everyone.